our wonderful Savior, our awesome God. Let me ask a question. How many of you had a breakthrough this week that God did something extraordinary in your life? Amen. Well, give Him praise for it. You're the only one that can praise Him. Amen. 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 He's certainly worthy of all of our praise. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're just going to speak briefly, but all of this month, we're going to be talking about strength. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord. It didn't just say be strong, because we know that there are limits to human strength, but to be strong in the Lord. Today we're going to be talking from Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 13. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But the one who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. But the one who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Look at somebody, if you would, and tell them only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for your awesome word. Thank you for the time of worship that we've had, being able to come before you with songs in our heart and being led by the choir to give you thanks for the many wonderful things that you've done. Pray that you'd now speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to understand your truth, that the truth would set us free. We pray this in Jesus' strong and mighty name and for his glory. And all the believers said, amen. You probably did not come to church today to hear about a man by the name of Charles Darwin. That was probably the last thing on your mind. And yet, if we look at Charles Darwin, we will find that he talked about survival of the fittest, the origin of species. And I'm not going to preach Darwin, but I want to use that as a launch pad and as an example of how we were supposed to be moving towards some type of utopia. You know, the species are going to evolve and we're going to get better and better. Things are going to be nice and we're going to have government that rules according, we're going to have economies that work and all of these wonderful things that are going to evolve, right? Well, something happened to that evolutionary process. Something has gone astray, and it's called sin. It's called mankind's depravity, and we're facing it. Charles Darwin presented his theory of evolution in the 1860s, and in 1869 he presented his fifth edition, which included this term that we use, survival of the fittest. It's affected everything from the way we do government to the way that we compete for superiority. All of these come from this teaching about only the strong survive. You know, when I think about it, before I learned about Charles Darwin, I heard it from Jerry Butler. Some of y'all don't know old school, so we won't go there. But anyway, the term has been used, and Darwin, watch this, found it easier, less complicated to believe in his theory than he did the Bible. Wow. Species would be able to go through this process of what you call the origin of species and then the development of these species. He had three things that he hinted on. One, that living organisms pass on traits to the next generation. Living organisms pass on traits to the next generation. Second, that organisms overpopulate and create scarcity of resources that now requires them to compete. And we know that that's true in a sense. I'll explain a little bit more about that later. And then that the species change over time to adapt to their environment. In other words, you go back to the picture of monkeys, and you have a monkey that then drops his tail, and then the monkey starts doing other things. They stand upright, and then they move toward where they now have become man. Well, the problem with that is we still got monkeys. Right? And some of those monkeys always have been monkeys, always will be monkeys, because that's the way that God made them. But Darwin did present a point, and he even acknowledged that there were flaws, there were a few things about his Origin of Species that could be questioned. And you're probably asking, well, how does this fit with the Bible? And where are we standing with regards to this only the strong survive? And it brings us down to our key verse where we're talking about here today. Those who endure until the end. Those who endure until the end. Somehow now you and I are caught up in this process of where mankind is trying to say, how are we going to deal with these things? And guess what? The Bible has already preached about it. The Bible has already given us the prophecies of what will happen in the end time. And what you got to do, saint of God, what you got to do, child of God, is that not give in to the system, but be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Be strong, not because you have a theory that's guiding you, but you've got the Holy Spirit that's keeping you. Anybody in the house today? We have God's Spirit to guide us. And I would tell you that rather than the systems of this world working and developing, it seems that they are now dissolving and they're crumbling. Kingdoms are decaying. And isn't that what the Bible said? He said, nation shall rise against nation. You'll have earthquakes. You'll have all of these things going on. And I'll speak to that in just a few minutes. But three things that we have to deal with and you and I have to face each and every day. Number one, governments are failing. Either you got corrupt leaders. You look at what's happening in a lot of world governments. You know, what happened in Afghanistan? You know, we had this government in place. They were supposed to be there. They took the money and ran, right? You got a lot of things happening, and now we're even questioning the integrity of our government. But let me tell you something. All government, all positions of leadership, whether they use it for good or bad, it was ordained by God. So your duty as a Christian is to pray for them and to recognize their position. You may not agree with them. You don't have to, right? But you do need to pray because guess what? Jesus did not have as his agenda to destroy the Roman government. His agenda, his purpose was to save mankind from sin. He wasn't running for political office because he was already king. I like that. So now you and I have to deal with this thing of where now we're seeing governments failing, and the Bible tells us that that would happen. It tells us. Governments would fail. But not only that, even if governments were working perfectly, you'd still have a world in decay. Why? Because of this thing called pestilence. This is what the Word of God says. There shall be earthquakes. You will have pestilence. You will have earthquakes in divers places. That means various parts of the world. In Haiti, people are now struggling, and we've been trying to help out through Gleaning for the World, help people in Haiti because they're struggling because they had an earthquake. But guess what? Right after the earthquake, there came the hurricane. You know, and we as those that, of us who live in North America and in the United States and Canada, we say, whew, man, we got through them. But guess what? Pestilence is coming your way. Now, does the Christian fall all apart because we see that the world not only has governments that are failing, but it has problems now happening in nature? Do we fall apart? No, 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 ladies and gentlemen. This is just the drama before the great event. This is just the storm that comes before the Lord returns to this world. And what you've got to do is be strong. Not be weak. Know what's going on. Know what your Bible has told you. Know what the scripture says about these events that will take place in this world. Jesus said these things will happen, but the end is not yet. Yeah, Darwin was trying to tell you we're moving toward utopia, but Jesus is trying to tell you, no, we're moving toward a kingdom. We're moving to a place where God will bring about perfect peace in the world. In the millennial reign of Christ, there will be perfect peace. The lion will lay down by the lamb. The child will play over the snake hole and will not be injured because of that great day. There will be peace throughout all of the land because one person has come to this earth, and his name is Jesus. What a wonderful thing that we have. So now, if you're now into, what is this, the 16th month, 18th month of this COVID pestilence, and you're worried about what's going to happen next, don't worry about that. God had this plan from the beginning. Yeah, you gotta do stuff. Yeah, you gotta go wear your mask. You gotta take your vaccination and hopefully your booster and all of that. And I get it that people, well, I don't know. It's risky, Pastor, and I don't know what I'm for this vaccine. Well, let me just throw you a little hint in there. You're gonna die anyway. Those of us that have been in the military, we've had more shots than can be mentioned, right? Jesus did not tell you that you would not face trouble in the flesh. He did not make a promise to the believer that you would not have to face hardship. As a matter of fact, he said, look at what we just read. He said, they will deliver you up to be afflicted and will kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. Now, of course, in general, he's talking about the people of Israel, right? But also we find out that throughout the history of Christianity, true believers have been persecuted. They have died. They had to go through suffering, but they didn't have their hope embedded in this world. They believed in the promises that God had made to them, the promises that he will never fail us, that he would always be our strength. Look at somebody for the first time and tell them, hold on. Look at somebody else, tell them, hold on. You got to be strong. You got to be strong. Only the strong can survive all of this. And there are people that are saying, I can't cope with these times. Well, please open your Bible and turn to what the Word says. It'll calm your fears late at night. It'll keep you from going crazy over the stuff that's happening. Well, this don't make sense. Nothing makes sense except the Lord. And if you can look up, you can get up. Only the strong survive. So there will be governments failing. There will be pestilence, but then it will also be a time of hatred. Hating on folk. You know, haters all in the world. And Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. Folks are just cold-hearted. They don't care about you. People will walk up to you. And I agree, it ain't the gun. It's the person holding the gun. Are y'all still here? They're trying to decide, what should we do about legislation? Well, you know, if you do away with guns, they're going to kill them with rocks. So, I mean, yeah. People say, what's your position on it? My position is, if you're getting ready to hit me, let me move. Y'all missed it. Just changed my... Yeah, never mind. So we have to deal with these situations. We have to deal with these calamities And ladies and gentlemen, we studied it in Sunday school this morning. The only solution to hate is love. But do not think that love is the opposite of hate, because love is always stronger. Love is of God, and you're of God. Every time you open the Word, God begins to flood your heart with the truth that He loves you. If none of the others in this world care about you, there's one who cares dearly, and that's God Almighty. Can I talk about Him? He woke me up this morning. I know y'all didn't want me to go there, but I'm just so thankful. Because folks my age, amen, somebody, I've been looking at tombstones. I've been reading the obituary. Folks at my age are leaving here. But for Coleman to still be here, thank you, Jesus. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. And we have to recognize that we dwell in an atmosphere of love. And every time we come to church, we have an opportunity to share in that atmosphere, to be a part of the Word of God that's going out, that's flooding our hearts, so that when we leave here, we put our mask on and we get ready to face the world. But there's something on the inside. The love of God dwells in us. And not even the world can change that. Yes, Darwin had his theory, but Jesus had his truth. He said, the truth will set you free. 153 years after Darwin is dead and gone. Now, he's gone. It's 153 years later, but the truth of Jesus Christ still reigns. He still controls everything. The reality of Jesus' words, and I want to share these few facts with you. As far as development of nations, the evolving of nations, we would say that right up there at the top should be the United States, right? Yeah, great old USA. And I believe that. I don't get me wrong. I love my country, but God didn't just love America. He loved Africa. He loved Asia. He loved the Philippine Islands. God loved Haiti. God loved the smallest place on the planet. That's where the love of God goes. So never think that because of we're high up in the economic scale or whatever, that we're superior. There's no such thing as superiority, because man's depravity, man's sinfulness has caused him to be as weak as anybody else. And the only way that you can conquer sin is through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you're able to be an overcomer. Let me give you a few facts about the U.S. of A. Developed nation. We call the rest of the nations third world. Well, how is it that this developed nation has over 43 million people? The highest population of those that have been affected by COVID-19 on the planet is in the U.S. of A. Ain't that something? Why is it that over 700,000 people have died from this pandemic and we're number one in the world in deaths? Because we hard-headed. Won't listen to nobody. And won't even stick together to take care of one another. Well, I get it. I get it. You don't want to wear masks, but when you go around an old, weak person like me, or like my wife, I'm sorry. We're prone to diseases, right? We have immunocompromised that we need you to help us out. So please, let's take care of each other. I believe we only have one opportunity to get this right. And that opportunity starts with humbling yourself. Admitting that we got a problem. Whether the solution is good or bad, that's not the point. The point is we're going to try everything we can to take care of each other. Does that sound good? Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So we have the reality of Jesus' words. What did Jesus say would happen in these times in which we're living? Jesus said that you would have governments that would fail. He said in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Doesn't sound like utopia to me. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Despite the fact that we've had numerous peace summits, we've had people to come together and say, we need a body of people that will help us with world government. So they formed the League of Nations, which evolved into the United Nations. And guess what? As of 2021, you still have wars and rumors of wars. Why? Jesus said so. Jesus said so. Not only did he say that we would have wars and rumors of wars, but you would have people in the world that they're going to make profit. Read the book of Revelation. One of the economic things that's going to happen when their system is destroyed is that they're going to say, oh, Babylon has fallen, and we're losing our profits. Get this. May 2019, the former Secretary of State was concerned, and he asked him if he was concerned about the melting of glaciers on the polar regions of the world. His reply was, well, if the glaciers melt, we'll be able to have new trade routes that will boost our world economy. Let me get this straight. If the polar caps melt, water rises, people die. How are we going to have a better economy? It doesn't make sense. But if you root it in the thinking of this world, that's the way you think. But if you root it in the kingdom of God, you're thinking to yourself, okay, Lord, your word says it's getting worse. I believe that, but I also see the end of the matter. I see that now God's kingdom is coming upon the world. I see that now I got to get myself ready. How many of you all knew you were going to get ready to move, but you waited till the last day to pack? So my job is to help you, child of God. Now that you see all these things happening, you better pack your spiritual bags. You better get yourself ready, because what God has for us, amen, you cannot lose. You cannot lose. A part of that is worship. Believe it or not. And yet there are people drifting away from the church saying, well, and church doesn't have any answer. Yeah, we do. You just ain't been here to hear it. And the good news is you don't have to come in person. You can come in person if you want to. Bless God for the ones we have in here, those in the parking lot. But all you got to do is click, 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 and you're in the service. My goodness. But in all sincerity, you don't want to miss what Christ is getting ready to do in this world. It's not falling apart. It's falling together. My job this morning is to tell you that as a child of God, you need this thing called endurance. Endurance. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Being able to have what we call the long suffering. Being able to put up with a lot of things and still keep holding your head up. And some of y'all, you know, you've been through worse stuff in your book. Amen. If I could read your book would read, hey, if I made it through that, I can make it through this. How many of y'all know that? Matter of fact, how many of you have been through storms and crises in your life? You've had loved ones that you've lost. You've had situations that were beyond your control, but God. Well, I feel like preaching now, Reverend Gibbon. You had the devil on your case and situations falling apart, but God. He moved. He blessed you, and he kept you through all of that. This reminds us of the promises that Jesus made. He said the world governments would falter, they would fail. You would have the famines, you would have earthquakes, you would have all these things happening. You would have situations where people would hate one another for no reason at all. People are killing each other. Killing each other. I'm not talking about just cursing each other out. That's what we used to do. Right? You know, either we draw the line and we put up your dukes. No, no. People pull up, you know, bam. Crazy stuff. And a lot of young people are getting this mentality in their mind. If I don't like you, I'll just blow you away. That person isn't coming back. They're not coming back. And you would have their blood on your hands. Yeah, you're mad at folks. We all get mad at folks. Amen, right? But if you got love in your heart for Christ and for other people, you get over that. You get over that. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Maybe somebody online. I don't know. Very quickly, let me give you the three promises. Look at somebody, tell them we're getting ready to get the promises now. Yeah, we're fitting to get into the promises of God. What did Jesus promise us in these perilous times? What did he say would be ours? Point number one, he said that he would be our keeper. If nothing else is happening in your life, the Lord is your keeper. Here's what Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he offered himself up. John 17 and verse 11, keep through thine own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. He's praying to the Father. He said, Father, when I was with them on the earth, I kept them. But now that I'm going back to heaven, I want you to keep them. And you know what the Father did? He sent his Holy Spirit. When Jesus touched down in glory, the Holy Spirit said, I'll see y'all later. I'm going down to the earth. I'm going to take care of those that believe in Christ. We have grieved him. We have done things that have blasphemed him. But you know what? He kept loving us. Now you're in church today. The very God that you said you would never love, now you're in love with him. Now you're worshiping him. Now you recognize all that he's done in your life. Isn't God faithful? My grandma used to say, he's a mighty good keeper. He's a mighty good keeper. He's a mighty good keeper all the way. All the way from earth to glory. He's a mighty good keeper all the way. The psalmist put it this way. He said, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Storms or the trials of life shall not afflict you by day, neither shall they of the nighttime conquer you. The Lord is your keeper. Thank God for a keeper from glory. Amen. But not only is the Lord our keeper, the Lord made another promise. He made a promise that he would always be with us in our struggle. Hebrews 13 in verse 5 says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Can I tell you what else my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Do you think that you could ever face a crisis in life without the Lord? Many of us have been impacted in so many ways, not knowing what's next. And yet God said, I still got your hand. I want you to go through the storm, but I'm going to hold your hand while you walk through it. I will be with you. Then the last promise that the Lord makes us, and I go to my seat with this, the end will come. Now that very statement strikes fear in the hearts of people because they don't understand what the end means. The end certainly does not mean the end for those who believe. Are y'all still in the building? As a matter of fact, it means the end of wickedness. It means the end of unrighteousness. It means the end of rebellion against God. The Lord's going to say, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. People standing up in my face and cursing me. The end will come for a wicked world. Now would be a good time to pick whose side you're going to be on. Now would be a great time to say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm with those that believe. For the world, the end will mean sorrow and sadness and all things being destroyed. But for the righteous, it will mean Christ coming in with a new kingdom. The end will mean for some the lake of fire. But the end will mean for others that believe the streets of glory. You got to decide which side you're going to be on. They that love the world, you're going to perish with the world. But they that love God shall reign eternally. I want to close by giving you something that we can do as in our endurance as the children of God. As a matter of fact, I picked this up this morning. I was just glancing through my notes and and saw this book on the shelf, and I said, you know, I wonder what's in that. And I remembered this particular poem. And Jesus referred to it, in the end time, the love of many shall wax cold. So this poem is about the cold within. Six humans trapped by happenstance in black and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the stories told. Their dying fire was in need of logs. The first woman held hers back, for on the faces around the fire, she noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy and shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight, for all he saw in his stick of wood was the chance to spite the white. And the last man of this forlorn group did not accept for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. The logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and love. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you that we want to be strong in the Lord. And we pray that during this study, you will help us to find strength in you. Lord knows these crises, these trials, and these struggles has made us weak, and that we confess. But we know that you've come to revive us. You come to strengthen us where we're weak and build us up where we're torn down, whether it be through sickness or suffering. You are our strength, and we rely totally upon you. So in this first message, we ask that you would keep us from being alarmed at the things that are happening upon the earth, and that we would set our face steadfast upon you, our hope and our trust. O eternal God, if ever was a time that we needed you, we need you now. Be with us, we pray. Strengthen us by your grace and love, and we'll forever thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close, we want to open the doors of the church if there be any that are lost. We've spoken about these end times, and maybe it has struck a chord within you. Well, you don't have to be far off from the Lord. You can come to know him today. You can know that he's your Savior. Or perhaps you've gotten to a place where you said, you know what, I need to be a part of a fellowship. I need to be a part of a family that's growing and learning more about Christ and his word. And you like what you've heard. You like the worship and the message. We invite you to be a part of our church family. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you're online, of course, it's impossible for you to come down the aisle, but you can send me an email at crossroadbc.com. If you're in the parking lot, speak to me later, and we will arrange things that you can come to know Christ. If you're in here, you can walk down the aisle. We're not going to shake your hand, but we'll give you a fist pump, pray with you, talk to you about Jesus. Today's the day. Let's just sing together.